Welcome, deep divers. Have you ever stopped to truly marvel at the incredible, often unsung hero that is your own body? What if I told you that your single largest organ isn't hidden away inside, tucked beside your liver or brain, but is actually right there, covering you from head to toe?
And it's also the heaviest one.
Exactly.
It's absolutely true. Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into the fascinating world of your body's outer defenses and internal linings, the integumentary system, and other crucial membranes.
And our guide for this journey has been the incredibly insightful lectures from Dr. Hoffman.
That's right. Our mission is really to unpack the intricate anatomy, the surprisingly diverse functions, and the vital protective roles of your skin, hair, and nails, along with some essential internal membranes you might never have fully appreciated.
And here's the first real aha moment that Dr. Hoffman brings to light. Your skin isn't just some passive wrapping paper for your insides. It's a dynamic, multicellular membrane. And quite astonishingly, it truly is the body's single largest and heaviest organ.
Yeah, it outweighs your liver, your brain, practically everything else combined. It's easy to forget, isn't it? When you think organ, you usually picture something internal.
You really do, but this one is literally all around you.
Exactly. Dr. Hoffman really emphasizes that the term integument itself literally means covering.
Oh, okay.
And so the integumentary system primarily includes the skin, hair, and nails. It's not just surface features. It's a fully integrated system.
And as for the skin itself, it's not just a collection of cells. It's a multicellular membrane, also known as the cutaneous membrane.
Right.
But the key is that it truly functions as an organ. You know, we usually think of organs as like kidneys or lungs, internal stuff.
Sure, the viscera.
But the skin fits the biological hierarchy perfectly. Different tissue types, like the outer epidermis, that's epithelial tissue, and the deeper dermis, which is connective tissue.
Mm-hmm.
They all combine to form this complex structure with very specific vital jobs.
And its strategic placement couldn't be more important. I mean, the skin is the most superficial structure. It serves as your primary protective barrier between you and the entire external environment.
Everything else is deep to it.
Almost everything else, yeah. It really underscores its critical role as your body's literal first line of defense.
So your skin is clearly this superstar barrier, but it's not the only membrane doing crucial work in your body. Dr. Hoffman really opened my eyes to a few others, ones that are maybe less conspicuous, but just as important.
Like the mucous membranes.
Exactly, often just called mucosa.
What's interesting here is the terminology itself. Dr. Hoffman is very precise, distinguishing between mucus, that sticky, slippery substance, the noun, and mucus, which is the adjective.
Ah, okay. Describing the membrane.
Exactly. So mucous membranes logically produce mucus.
And where do we find these? They line internal hollow structures that are surprisingly continuous with the outside world.
Right, like the entire alimentary canal, you know, mouth to anus, or your trachea, the airway to your lungs, even places like the vagina.
So their main function is lubrication, making things slide.
Pretty much, yeah. That slippery mucus helps things move along smoothly. Dr. Hoffman gives the example of chewing mastication. Food mixes with mucus to form a soft, slippery bolus.
Makes it easier to swallow. Deglutition.
Exactly. And that lubrication continues throughout the whole digestive tract, ensuring effortless passage. The key difference from skin is that skin is relatively dry, while these are constantly moist.
Because they keep making mucus.
Constantly.
That's fascinating how the body uses these specialized linings. And speaking of vital internal functions, let's turn to what Dr. Hoffman calls serous membranes.
Serous membranes, yeah. The name itself gives a clue, coming from serum, suggesting a watery, thin fluid, a bit like blood serum, which is plasma without the proteins.
Okay, so where are these found?
Well, they're in places where organs need to move quite a bit against their surroundings and where friction would be a serious problem.
Like the heart.
Exactly. The pericardium around the heart, and the pleura surrounding the lungs. Your heart's always beating, lungs expanding and contracting. Imagine the wear and tear without protection.
So how are they structured to prevent that friction?
It's actually quite clever. Dr. Hoffman describes a single membrane that literally folds back on itself. So you end up with two layers.
Okay.
There's the visceral layer, which is deeper, right up against the organ itself. And then the parietal layer, which is more superficial, forming a sort of wall with the surroundings.
Yeah, and there's a space between them.
A very small space, yeah. And it's filled with serous fluid, which the membrane itself produces. This creates this amazing, almost frictionless environment for movement.
And Dr. Hoffman uses that great analogy, right? The fist in a water-filled balloon.
Yes. Such a perfect mental image. The fist is the organ. The inner layer of the balloon touching it is the visceral layer. The outer layer is the parietal.
And the water is the serous fluid. It shows how it's one continuous thing creating that lubricating space.
Exactly. It's elegant, really. Simple concept, vital function. Shows the body's engineering genius.
And then there's one more type. Synovial membranes.
Right. These line the fluid-filled synovial cavity of your highly movable joints. Think knees, ankles, shoulders.
Places that really move a lot.
Definitely. And the fluid itself, synovial fluid, has a consistency. Dr. Hoffman likens to a raw egg white. Very lubricating.
And part of this membrane is actually cartilage.
Yeah, part of it is formed by the hyaline cartilage on the ends of your bones within the joint. This provides cushioning and slipperiness, which is just vital for smooth joint function, especially when we're younger.
Makes you appreciate how complex even a simple joint is.
Absolutely. All these systems working together.
So we've established your skin as this massive organ, but what exactly does it do moment by moment to keep you safe? Its job description is huge, starting with just physical protection, right? Keeping you intact.
Definitely. Dr. Hoffman's insights really highlight how incredibly tough this living shield is against mechanical damage.
So where does that toughness come from?
Primarily from keratin. It's a strong, fibrous protein made by the living skin cells. As these cells migrate up towards the surface, they die off and become cornified.
Cornified, like horny.
Literally, yeah. It means hardened. Makes that outer layer incredibly resilient. Plus, you've got that layer of adipose tissue, fat cells underneath.
Hypodermis, sort of.
Well, just deep to the dermis, providing cushioning against bumps and impacts.
And it's not just passive armor, is it? It feels things.
Oh, absolutely. It's a sensory powerhouse packed with specialized receptors, tiny detectors for touch, pressure, temperature, even chemicals.
Your early warning system.
Exactly. And Dr. Hoffman really stresses that pain, as unpleasant as it is critically protective. It signals danger immediately, stopping us from causing severe injury or worse.
Beyond bumps and scrapes, it also protects against chemical damage.
It does. It offers surprising resistance to moderate acids and bases that could damage deeper tissues, another layer of defense.
And then there's the microbial threat. You know, this part really stood out for me from Dr. Hoffman's lectures. We're constantly surrounded by microbes.
Trillions of them.
Yeah.
And the skin is fighting them off constantly, often without us even knowing.
How does it manage that?
Several ways. First, there's the physical barrier itself, just being intact. But then Dr. Hoffman talks about the acid mantle.
Acid mantle.
Yeah, it's a thin layer on the skin surface that's slightly acidic and salty. This environment is actually hostile to many bacteria. It kills them on contact, like a chemical shield.
Wow.
And then there are specialized immune cells, phagocytes, like dendritic cells, constantly patrolling the skin. They engulf invaders and signal the wider immune system if needed.
Like little Pac-Men gobbling up threats.
Pretty much. And Dr. Hoffman puts this in historical context, too. He points out that before antibiotics, which only became common in the 1940s, simple cuts could easily become fatal infections.
That really drives home how vital the skin's own defenses are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he also mentions the growing problem of antibiotic resistance, which makes these natural defenses even more important today. It's an ongoing battle.
Okay, so mechanical, chemical, microbial. What about UV radiation? Sunshine.
Big one. UV radiation damages DNA, causing mutations that can lead to skin cancers like melanoma.
But the skin fights back.
It does. Melanocytes produce melanin, that pigment that gives skin its color. Melanin is fantastic at absorbing UV light. Dr. Hoffman describes how melanin molecules actually cluster over the nucleus of skin cells.
Like a little umbrella.
Exactly. Like a tiny parasol specifically shielding the DNA inside. Plus, cells have repair mechanisms for UV damage, too. It's a multi-pronged defense.
Amazing. And finally, keeping us from drying out. Desiccation.
Crucial. Dr. Hoffman emphasizes that without skin, we'd dehydrate incredibly quickly. Our deeper tissues need moisture to function.
So how is it waterproof?
It comes down to the epidermis, that outer layer. It's epithelial tissue, so the cells are packed really tightly, like bricks. And Dr. Hoffman explains they secrete water-resistant glycolipids between them, acting like mortar.
Brick and mortar. Nice analogy.
Yeah, it creates this remarkably waterproof barrier, keeping essential moisture in.
So it's a barrier, but it's also doing other things, right? Dr. Hoffman mentioned it acts like a thermostat and even a factory.
That's right. Thermoregulation, maintaining body temperature, is a huge job for the skin.
So when you get too hot...
Two main things happen. First, sweat glands kick in. They produce sweat, and as that sweat evaporates from your skin surface, it cools you down.
How does evaporation cool things?
Dr. Hoffman explains it simply. Evaporation removes the fastest moving water molecules, the ones with the most heat energy. This lowers the average energy, and thus the temperature, of the liquid left behind. Basic physics, but very effective.
Okay, makes sense. What's the second thing?
Flushing. You know, when your skin gets red. That's increased blood flow directed to the skin surface. The blood carries heat from your body's core.
And the skin radiates it away.
Exactly. It dissipates heat conductively from the surface, like opening a radiator.
And the opposite happens when you're cold.
Pretty much. You pale because blood flow to the skin is reduced. This minimizes heat loss, keeping warmth concentrated near your core organs.
And goosebumps.
Right. Horripilation, as Dr. Hoffman calls it. Tiny muscles called erector pili pull on your hair follicles, making the hairs stand on end.
Does that actually do much for us?
In us, not really. But the idea is to trap a thicker layer of insulating air close to the skin. Much more effective if you have dense fur, like other mammals. It's a holdover.
Interesting. And it even does a bit of excretion.
A minor role, yeah. Kidneys are the main players, obviously. But sweat does contain small amounts of urea and uric acid, similar waste products to what's in urine, just in much smaller quantities.
Okay, but the really unique thing Dr. Hoffman highlighted was vitamin D synthesis.
Yes. This is fascinating because most vitamins, you have to get them from your diet. But vitamin D, your body can actually make it.
And the skin is where it starts.
It is. UV light from the sun hits cholesterol molecules in your skin cells. This triggers a chemical conversion into a precursor molecule, cholecalciferol.
Okay.
This then travels through the blood to the liver, then the kidneys, undergoing more conversions until it becomes calciferol, the active form of vitamin D.
And what does active vitamin D do?
Its main job is to help your small intestines absorb calcium from the food you eat.
Which is crucial for bones, obviously.
Crucial for bones, yes, but also for tons of other things. Muscle contraction, nerve function. Even the electrical signals that make your heartbeat rely on calcium. So your skin is literally helping your heart function by starting this process.
Wow, that connection is incredible. Okay, now that we know what it does, let's dive into the anatomy. The layers, the hair, the nails. Dr. Hoffman broke this down really clearly.
Yeah, so the skin has two main layers. The epidermis on top and the dermis underneath.
Epidermis, that's the outer one.
Right. It's epithelial tissue. Thinner than the dermis, but highly stratified, meaning lots of layers of cells stacked up. And the cells on the very surface are flattened, squamous.
Stratified squamous epithelium. Got it.
That multi-layer structure is key for its toughness.
And below that is the dermis.
The dermis, yeah. Thicker, made mostly of connective tissue. It has two parts itself.
Okay.
The upper part is the papillary layer. It has these finger-like bumps called dermal papillae that push up into the epidermis.
Why do they do that?
They interlock the layers, but crucially, they contain tiny blood vessels, capillaries, that nourish the living epidermal cells above. Remember, the epidermis doesn't have its own blood supply.
Ah, right. So the dermis feeds it. What's the deeper part of the dermis?
That's the reticular layer. It's thicker, and named for its network reticulum means network of protein fibers, mostly collagen and elastin, running in all directions. This gives the skin its strength and ability to stretch and recoil.
And even deeper is the hypodermis.
Hypodermis, yeah. Dr. Hoffman is careful to say it's not technically part of the skin, but it anchors the skin to underlying structures. It's mostly adipose tissue fac.
For insulation and cushioning.
Exactly. And he points out that major blood vessels run just above it, which is important for shedding heat to the skin surface.
Okay, let's talk about the journey of an epidermal cell. Dr. Hoffman described this life cycle really well. It starts deep down.
Right at the bottom, in the stratum basal, or basal layer. This is where new skin cells, keratinocytes, are born through mitosis cell division.
Constantly dividing.
Pretty much. One daughter cell stays put to divide again, the other starts moving upwards. This layer also has the melanocytes, making melanin.
And transferring it to the keratinocytes?
Yeah. Dr. Hoffman mentions they use phagocytosis. Basically, the keratinocytes eat the melanin packets.
So after the base cell layer?
They move into the stratum spinosum. They start producing lots of keratin fibers here. They look kind of spiny under a microscope because they shrink a bit, but stay connected by strong junctions called desmosomes.
Like little spot welds holding them together?
Good analogy. Then comes the stratum granulosum. Here, they make granules containing proteins that link the keratin fibers together, making them even tougher.
Like reinforcing the bricks.
Exactly. And they also produce granules full of lipids fats, which get secreted between the cells. This is the mortar that makes the skin waterproof.
Ah, the glycolipids we mentioned earlier.
Precisely. Cells in these first three layers are still alive, but getting further from that blood supply in the dermis.
And the final layer.
The outermost layer is the stratum corneum. This is what you actually touch. It's made of dead, flattened, hardened cells packed with keratin. They're called corneocytes.
And this layer is thick.
Very thick, relatively speaking. Highly stratified itself. Maybe 20, 30 layers deep in thin skin. And these cells are constantly being rubbed off, shed through abrasion.
So we're constantly replacing our skin surface.
Constantly. It's a complete renewal process.
You mentioned thin skin. Dr. Hoffman also talked about thick skin.
Right. Most of your body is covered in thin skin, which has those four main strata we just discussed. The cell, spinosum, granulosum, corneum. But thick skin on the palms of your hands and soles of your feet.
Areas that get more wear and tear.
Exactly. It's thicker overall, partly because it has an extra layer sandwiched between the granulosum and corneum called the stratum lucidum. It's a clear layer, and all the other layers kind of have more cells too, just built tougher for those high abuse areas.
Makes sense. And Dr. Hoffman mentioned some other interesting cells in the epidermis.
Yeah, besides keratinocytes and melanocytes, he mentioned tactile cells, sometimes called Merkel cells, near the basal layer. They're touch receptors, very sensitive. And those dendritic cells, the immune patrollers, are found mainly in the spinosum layer.
Skin's little security guards.
You got it.
Okay, let's shift to hair. What did Dr. Hoffman tell us about its structure?
He described the hair shaft, the part you see, as having layers too. A central core called the medulla, then a thicker cortex, and an outermost layer called the cuticle.
The cuticle has shingles.
Yeah, overlapping scale-like cells. Dr. Hoffman likened them to hose barbs, pointing out that they face downwards, helping to anchor the hair in its follicle so it doesn't just slide out easily.
And the hair itself is made of keratin.
Yes, but Dr. Hoffman specifies it's hard keratin, which is even tougher and more durable than the soft keratin found in the skin's epidermal cells. Different structure, more cross-linking.
Is the hair we see alive?
No, the shaft itself is dead. The living growing part is deep down in the dermis inside the hair follicle. There's a region called the hair matrix, where cells divide rapidly around a little bump of connective tissue rich in blood vessels, the hair papilla.
And that pushes the hair outward.
Exactly. The new cells push the older ones up, they keratinize, harden, and die, forming the hair shaft that emerges from the skin. That's why cutting your hair doesn't hurt.
Right. And nails. Dr. Hoffman called them the body's toughest tools.
They really are. Even tougher than hair, containing even more hard keratin.
What are the main parts?
You have the free edge, the part you trim. The main visible part is the nail plate, or nail body, which rests on the nail bed underneath, which is just skin. Growth happens back at the nail matrix, hidden under the skin fold.
So similar to hair growth, it grows from the base.
Exactly. Continuous cell division in the matrix pushes the existing nail plate forward. Like hair, the visible nail is already dead, hardened keratin.
And Dr. Hoffman pointed out the cuticle and the lunula.
Yeah, the cuticle is that fold of hardened skin at the base. And the lunula is the whitish, crescent-shaped area you often see near the cuticle, the little moon. It looks white because the underlying blood vessels are obscured by the thick matrix tissue there.
Okay, last bit of anatomy. The skin glands. Sweat glands first.
Two main types. Eger, sometimes called merocrine. Glands are the most numerous. They're all over your body and produce the watery sweat primarily for cooling you down via evaporation.
And the other type?
Apocrine sweat glands. These are larger and found mainly in specific areas like the armpits, axillae, groin, and around the nipples.
And they cause body odor.
Well, the sweat they produce is actually odorless initially. It's thicker, contains some fats and proteins. But bacteria living on the skin break these down, and that's what creates body odor. Dr. Hoffman mentioned this likely had evolutionary significance, maybe in signaling.
Interesting. What about earwax glands?
Ceruminous glands. Modified apocrine glands found only in the lining of the external ear canal. They produce cerumen, or earwax.
And finally, oil glands.
Sebaceous glands. These produce sebum, which is your body's natural oil. Most are associated with hair follicles, emptying their oil onto the hair shaft and surrounding skin.
To keep things moisturized.
Exactly. Keeps hair from becoming brittle and helps keep the skin supple and waterproofed.
So looking back at everything Dr. Hoffman covered, it's just staggering. Your skin isn't just a covering, it's this incredibly complex, dynamic organ.
Absolutely. With its huge range of protective functions, mechanical, chemical, microbial, UV, dehydration, plus temperature control, some excretion, and even making vitamin D.
And the other membranes, the mucus, serous, synovial, though less visible, they're playing these vital roles inside, allowing movement, lubrication, protection.
It's truly incredible, the sheer engineering marvel that is your body, often working silently, taken for granted right there in plain sight.
Absolutely. So the next time you feel a breeze on your skin, or maybe notice a small cut starting to heal, or even just wash your hands, take a moment to appreciate the silent, tireless work of your integumentary system, this amazing barrier and regulator.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It does. What other seemingly simple parts of our bodies might hold such astonishing complexity and essential functions that we just completely take for granted every single day? Something to think about. Thanks for diving deep with us.